VentureCast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And Tyler, what you really need to think about and think really hard is how badly do you want to be an entrepreneur? How badly do you want to take control over your career destiny? Because yes, these things happen. And it's interesting, there aren't a lot of statistics on how frequent it is. But what I have seen is that if you're over the age of 50 and you work in the US, you have more than a 50% likelihood that you are going to experience involuntary job loss at some point in your future. And if that happens, there will likely be some financial consequences. So yes, being prepared for that eventuality is really important. But what you need to consider is how badly do you want to be self-employed, be an entrepreneur?
Welcome to Think Business with Tyler, sharing our methods and strategies for success. Join in on our conversations with business owners as we highlight their triumphs and detail how they overcame the challenges they faced while continuing to grow and scale their business. It's time to think life, think success, and think business with your host, Tyler Martin.
Hey there, welcome back to Think Business with Tyler. In today's episode, we've got the inspiring David Schreiner Kahn joining us, the host behind the hit podcast, Smashing the Plateau. Get ready for an insightful chat filled with stories of resilience, the truth about entrepreneurial grit, and how to find your tribe. Sit back, get comfy, and let's get the inspiration rolling. Now, on to the show. Hey, David, welcome to the Think Business with Tyler podcast show. How is it going today?
It is going great, Tyler. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm super excited to have you on the show. You're somewhat a virtual, I don't know if I'd say mentor or star. I don't want to overstate it, but someone that I've listened to for many years on your podcast. You have two podcasts. One has well over 700 episodes. And so having you on the show is just like a cool honor to me. And I've got hopefully a lot of interesting questions, or at least the audience and yourself find interesting. To start out with, I'd love to just learn a little bit about you. If you could share about your podcast and maybe a little bit about you personally, I'd love to know more.
Sure. So I'm based in New York City. My professional career has essentially two buckets. I was an employee for the first 28 years. I've been an entrepreneur since 2006. And as an employee, I was trained as an engineer, worked for the first two jobs as an engineer, got pushed out of my second job just after I got a very strong performance review and a nice raise. But the company I worked for, I lost a lot of business. And so I was out the door, did a lot of soul searching, ended up going into the nonprofit sector, which is where I stayed for over 20 years. And then when I started my business, my focus was what I had really become specialized in, which is nonprofit management. So I was a solopreneur, nonprofit management consultant specializing in finance and operations. And that's an area that a lot of nonprofits in particular struggle with, because typically the senior leadership comes up the program track. So for example, a social service agency will most likely have a social worker as the CEO. They're not trained in management. They're not trained in finance. So I could add a lot of value to those organizations. And that's what I started off doing. You know, fast forward to today, 17 years later, now we specialize in helping people go through the transition that I went through in 2006, which is becoming a corporate refugee. That's how I describe it. So someone who goes from, you know, usually it's a high achieving position, 20 to 40 years of work experience. They have a full calendar, overflowing inbox, team of people to take care of things that they're not responsible for, this built-in social structure. They walk out the door either voluntarily or they've been pushed out, and they start their business with an empty calendar, empty inbox, no team, no social structure. They're spending all this time alone, and then they have to get up and do something they've never had to do before, which is sell themselves. And it is daunting. So even though when they do have paid work, they do great work because they have a lot of experience, the whole running the business thing is brand new to them. And as I said, it can be really daunting. So, you know, between my podcast, our community, and lots of other things, we have developed kind of a deep expertise in what it takes to start, run, and grow your own business so that you can do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth.
You know, when I used to have my CPA firm, and even nowadays as a business coach, I see this. I used to have clients come to me and they literally had just gotten laid off. Might have been HP back then was a common one. You had a lot of people that had worked for HP for many, many years. And then when they got into their 40s and 50s, they got laid off and they're like, well, what do I do with the rest of my life now? I'm not getting any responses on my resume. I don't know which way to turn. What do you recommend for people? Because it's a pretty common thing when you get probably late 40s, early 50s. I don't want to say you become unemployable, but it does exponentially become a lot harder. What do you recommend for people when that happens? And even if they're thinking about a business, what's your initial first response to them in terms of that thought process for them?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And Tyler, what you really need to think about and think really hard is, how badly do you want to be an entrepreneur? How badly do you want to take control over your career destiny? Because yes, these things happen. And it's interesting, there aren't a lot of statistics on how frequent it is. But what I have seen is that if you're over the age of 50 and you work in the US, you have more than a 50% likelihood that you are going to experience involuntary job loss at some point in your future. And if that happens, there will likely be some financial consequences. So yes, being prepared for that eventuality is really important. But what you need to consider is, how badly do you want to be self-employed, be an entrepreneur? Because if what you really want is to get a job, you're going to find that your mindset is divided. You'll find that your motivation is divided, and your capacity to grow your business is going to be limited. And what I've seen over and over again is people that are kind of wavering between being a consultant and being an employee, they don't build up such a significant consulting business. It's hard enough to build up a business. If you don't devote your full energy to it, you're going to be hampered.
Does cash flow have you down? Profit not where you think it should be? Maybe it's the long hours. Let's meet to see if I can help. I bridge driving the financial performance of your business to hit growth and success targets. Book a complimentary meeting at meetforgrowth.com to get started now. Once again, that's meetforgrowth.com. I look forward to talking with you. And thanks for listening to the show.
It's hard enough to build up a business. If you don't devote your full energy to it, you're going to be hampered.
Yeah. What do you think? You know, so it sounds like, you know, don't have your one foot in the water, so to speak, if you're going to go, if you want to be self-employed. What do you think the biggest challenge is for someone as they get into their 50s and now, hey, I want to start my own business? Is it finding business? Is it learning how to run a business? What do you see as the common challenges that most people run into?
Having the self-confidence to sell yourself more than anything else. And I've seen this even with people that have a marketing or sales background. It's very different to market or sell the company that gives you a paycheck versus selling yourself. And even if you're in a sales position, as a salesperson, you have sales skills. So you have an advantage over most other people.
Right.
But still, and I've heard this from salespeople that are good salespeople, even if you have a great track record selling and you know you have base plus commission and you do well in that scenario, it psychologically, it's different selling yourself versus selling a company, right? A company that is not you.
Yeah, yeah. Because the focal point's on that individual and they just probably haven't had that experience of having the light on them and what they do, at least in that and from that correct. Angle, I guess I would say. That's interesting.
The other thing I want to add to that, Tyler, is that, you know, depending upon your background and your experience, different people have skills in different areas. So some people are very tech savvy. And if you're like, if you start a solo consulting business with no team, nowadays, being able to manipulate all of the tech tools that you're going to need for a business, that's really important. Now, you can hire people to do that. But again, like some people are really good at it. They don't need that. Some people are good with numbers. They're not afraid of looking at a P&L and a balance sheet and projecting cash flow. If you're running a business, you have to know your numbers. Otherwise, you're going to find that you have a glorified hobby, not a business. So, you know, different people have skills in different areas. So I would say there's not like one thing that is common to everybody, but if you want like the most common thing, it's the marketing and selling.
Yeah. Yeah. So just shifting gears here, you have two podcasts, Smashing the Plateau is one, and then the other is Going Solo. I believe between the two, well over 800 shows. And your show format is you interview people on both shows. That's a lot of people you've talked to. What are some insights, you know, interviewing such a diverse range of people over 800 plus shows? What are some insights? Is there any big takeaways in all those interviews that you kind of stand back and look at?
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is, and you're right, I've been doing this a long time. So Going Solo, we're not currently producing episodes of Going Solo.
Okay.
We produced 150 episodes over about 2.5 years. And we're currently producing Smashing the Plateau in a weekly format. We have released episodes every single week since we started in 2014, which is a long run. And yes, it's a lot of interviews. So one interesting thing that I'll share as a podcast host is it's great to get people with celebrity status on your show. And I will say that I was gratified early on. I got some people with big names to be on my show within the first few months. It's probably harder to get some of those people nowadays because there were fewer podcasts back then, but we did get some big names. But one of the things that I found is the non-celebrity people are, I find that their stories are often much more compelling. And I've had guests tell me after we've recorded an interview that they have shared something on my show that they've never shared before, which is, you know, as a host, it's like so touching to hear that from somebody. So the stories of non-celebrities, I think, really, to me, stand out. So I don't particularly chase celebrities to be on my show. Sometimes it happens, but usually I just go for the, like, you know, the everyday run-of-the-mill guest. And the other thing is that the non-celebrity people, somebody who's maybe never been on a podcast before or has only been on a handful, they are touched to be on your show. And that also does a lot for the show in a way that having a celebrity on doesn't.
Right. Yeah, I echo the just regular people, if you will. Some of the stories that you hear and some of the things that they share, whether it be trials and tribulations or challenges in life or illnesses, it just blows my mind. I had one individual that still to this day stands out. She had cancer twice, both times told that she had less than 3 months to live and overcame it both times. To this day is as strong as can be, like a horse in terms of the way her activities and her healthcare. And what she ended up doing is she started a snack company that are healthy snacks for people that are good for your heart, good for your health, as a spinoff to overcoming cancer. And it's like, I mean, I've so many stories like that, and I'm sure you do too. And it kind of blows your mind. These are just like people out in our everyday life dealing with these challenges and overcoming them. Is there one that like kind of sticks out for you as one that you kind of puts you in awe or sticks in your brain?
I had a guest on, this is going back, it's probably like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago,
yeah,
who is a therapist and started a kind of run-of-the-mill therapy practice and ended up building a, you know, at the time she said it was $1 million plus practice, which is kind of remarkable for a therapist. But, you know, she looked for and listened to the marketplace about where there were revenue opportunities that were scalable. which is not the way most therapists think. And she ended up having three revenue streams. One was her own clients, and she specifically targeted clients that she could actually genuinely help, but she also targeted clients that had the capacity to pay higher than average fees. So she did provide value for them. I don't think she was overcharging, but from a business perspective, it was a smart model. And then once her own time was full, she started subcontracting. So that was another revenue source. And the third was she started teaching people how she built the practice that she built.
Wow.
And so, right, which is, again, this is not the most common way that somebody in her position would grow practice, but I just thought it was really smart. And yeah, I've had lots of guests that have had huge challenges. Had one who was bankrupt, lost her home, and then bounced back and found a particular advertising niche that was where most clients were paying a minimum of $10,000 a month, and that she was doing super well. Another guest who got pushed out of a job, started a business, ended up becoming a good friend of mine. We've been in touch since we met 10 years ago, and has had some ups and downs in business, but also found a niche in a particular business that was very different from what he started, and had the kind of discipline and perseverance to stick with it, and is currently doing super well in that business. Again, a lot of trials and tribulations, had some challenges in his home life early on, was homeless for a period of time, you know, all of these stories. And you get to meet these people and stay in touch with them. And it's just remarkable.
So, you know, I've had a lot of great shows, great people. Occasionally I've had a show where it just didn't work. Like there was no chemistry. And I chalk this up as being a bad interview on my part. I don't think that's necessarily true for most people, but I think I probably could have done a better job. Have you ever had a situation where just that chemistry wasn't there, that it just the show wasn't going the way you wanted it to? And how do you deal with it?
You know, it's an interesting question. I've never had an occasion where I've stopped an interview midway and said, you know what? I don't think this is going to work. I have certainly had occasions when I have felt that it's not going to be the best episode. And there are various reasons. Sometimes I'm just not at the top of my game on that day.
Sure.
Right? Could be, you know, for whatever reason, I'm just not feeling energetic enough. I'm not doing my best listening. Maybe there's other stuff going on in my life, and suddenly I realize I'm being distracted during the interview and I miss something the guest has said. That has happened occasionally. Doesn't happen too often, but sometimes it does.
Sure.
And then there are lots of occasions where the guest just isn't a good guest. I've had guests come on where they have a particular agenda that they're trying to pursue. And in order to create a good show, both from the guest perspective and the host perspective, what we're doing is creating an experience for the audience. And if you don't have the audience in mind, it is not going to be a good episode, right? So I've had guests come on where they're not paying any attention to the audience, and it's pretty obvious. I've had guests come on, and what they're really trying to do is pitch me on something they're trying to sell. And it's like, it gets to be awkward after a while. It's like, that's not what we're here for. So so there have definitely been some episodes that are not up to snuff. And then there are the unexpectedly great episodes where it's an incredible conversation. 20 minutes goes by super quickly, and I didn't even get to ask most of the things I was thinking of asking.
That's the classic one. Yeah. You're right, though. There are a lot of surprising ones where it's like you kind of start out and you're not sure, and then all of a sudden you just get so engaged with it. I had one, I think the one that stands out for me, I was interviewing someone, and it was in her kitchen that she was sitting, and her daughter comes in. So the guest is talking about being authentic. And so her daughter comes in, which is no big deal in the background, but she starts cooking and she's banging, literally banging the entire time. I don't even know what she's doing. She's doing a steak or whatever. And I'm sitting there just, honestly, I was caught off guard and I didn't know what to do. So I'm like sitting there as his daughter's banging in the background, slamming, you know, different dishes and stuff. And the guest says, oh yeah, see, this is how authentic we are. My daughter's doing whatever she's doing, cooking dinner or whatever. And that was probably one of, you know, now I would handle it a little differently. I think back then I wasn't really sure. It caught me off guard. Probably making, you know, I'd do the right thing and just mention it. But sometimes things happen. And if you haven't had a little experience doing this, and when I didn't at the time, you kind of just scratch your head a little bit and just go on with it.
Yeah. You know, I recorded an episode recently with a guest who actually is a podcaster. And so is a veteran at doing this. And it was a day when the guest felt a little off and the guest dog kept walking in and distracting them during the interview. And at the end, they said to me, you know, I really didn't feel like it was my best. Would you mind terribly if we just picked another date and redid it? And I said, yeah, that's fine. You know, so we just chucked it and we did it again. It was much better the second time.
Yeah, that was nice of you. That was really nice of you. I had one scenario where someone asked me to do that and we did, but I know my initial feeling was like, ah, man, you just went through a whole show. But it's for the best, because you're right. Mine also did the same.
If you're a business owner feeling stuck in your business, overwhelmed, responsible for everything that happens, and working long hours, Tyler helps his clients develop processes, hire high-performing team members, and better understand their financial metrics and numbers to allow for a more predictable, less hands-on business. To schedule a free, no-pressure consultation, head to thinktyler.com and click the meeting button. Tyler would love to see if he can help you work on your business, not in your business. Schedule a consultation today at thinktyler.com. Think life, think success, think business.
Hey, I want to get back over to this business thing, just some questions I have for you. You know, a lot of times when you're running a business, especially as a solo individual, a lot of pressure, you're constantly stressed. It's easy to lose the joy from running a business. It's easy to get caught up in just all the challenges, losing client, maybe not having your best proposal, whatever. There's just a million things that can go wrong. How do you keep that joy in running a business? What are your thoughts around that?
Well, for one thing, I think it's really important to have a place to talk to peers who get what it's like to run a business. So this is not talking about a family member or a friend who may be an employee or somebody you may have worked with in the past, but really people who get the day-to-day ups and downs of running a business. Because I don't care how long you're at it, and I hear this over and over again from other entrepreneurs, there are days when it just sucks and stuff happens that you don't anticipate and it just pulls you down. So, you know, being able to pick up the phone and say, listen, can we chat? I'm just having a rough time and here's what's going on. And having those like-minded people that you can talk to, you know, so sometimes it may be that you need to be lifted up quite suddenly. So you're going to reach out to somebody who you know you can reach out to at kind of a moment's notice if they're available for a phone call or, you know, a Zoom chat or getting a cup of coffee if they're nearby. And other times it may be something that's more structured, like what we do in our community, where there are regular times to check in with other people and talk through, here's what's working well. Here's where I'm challenged. Have you ever faced a situation like this? What did you do? And they're, you know, they're basic questions, but you need the human interaction to be able to overcome your own self-doubt, because the self-doubt is going to creep in. It's pretty nasty, but it has its way of showing up when things happen that are unexpected and that are not so great.
Yeah, so true. So I kind of feel like that's kind of an asking for help call that you're advocating. You know, when you need some help, reach out, ask for help. Do you have anything in your journey that where you've had to reach out and just kind of say, hey, I need some help or I need some feedback? That stands out, that someone was able to help you in your journey in terms of when you reached out?
Yeah, all the time. When I first started my business, I had a former professor at the Columbia Business School who became kind of a mentor. He was willing to meet me about once a month for lunch. And he gave me some great advice. It was just, you know, to share what was working, what wasn't working with him was awesome. That helped a lot. I've had, you know, to this day, I have close friends that I have met in initially in business scenarios that have become friends, that where we either have an occasional check-in or a regular check-in. Like I mentioned, the person who was a podcast guest, he and I met about 10 years ago when we were both starting our podcast around the same time. He lives in Missouri, I'm in New York. And we didn't meet in person for probably the first 5 years of our friendship. But we used to chat regularly. And he was on a trip to New York with his wife when we got together. And I showed him some parts of the city that tourists don't usually see. It was a lot of fun. And we also worked on a potential business venture together that ended up having some traction, but not a lot. That's, you know, what often happens. And now we have a regular Zoom call once a month. And sometimes we talk about business, sometimes not. But, you know, it's just, it's a great friendship. And I have another friend who's local in New York. We text every Friday, right? How was your week? What's going on? What's working well? What's not working so well? Sometimes we have a phone call, but we always text every Friday. And that, like, those relationships are great. And, you know, we met through business networking probably 12, 13 years ago.
Wow. So are you the, in the relationship, are you the type of guy that's always the follow-upper, or are you, do you just usually, as people that are mutually like that, your other colleague, or are you the one that kind of keeps it always going? Because I find a lot of times in my relationships, I have to force myself to be the follow-upper. I'm kind of bad with that. And so I find that the stickiest relationships I have tend to be the ones where the other party's a little better about that.
I would say I'm generally pretty good at following up when I have a good system to do it. If I rely just on my brain, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But the ones that are the stickiest, it ends up being mutual. So sometimes I'll be the one to reach out. Sometimes the other person will be the one to reach out.
Yeah, that's cool. That's good. That's good you network with those long-term relationships. They're so valuable. I wanted to talk a little bit about when we were talking earlier about running a business, or going into business for yourself. One of the big things that people have, and you kind of brought it up, it was like that whole imposter syndrome or that fear and the doubt. Is it community, or what can they do? What can an individual do to kind of overcome that fear and doubt that they have? I mean, are there certain steps that they can take, or is it just who the parties that they get involved with? What are your thoughts around that?
So one of the things that we do in our community, and I've experienced this long before I launched the community, is have a framework where you're encouraged to share something that you're unsure about so you can get some feedback. And the important thing about the feedback is it should be non-judgmental, and the space where you're sharing and asking for feedback and getting feedback should be a safe space. So there should be a rule about confidentiality that somebody else doesn't share something they've heard and attribute it directly to you unless you've given them permission to do that. And in the feedback process, it's really important that the feedback process include a period of questioning so that it gives you the opportunity to go deeper in what you're sharing. And then rather than somebody giving you advice, which can be judgmental, it's way better if they just share an experience where they have been in a similar situation. And then you can take away from it whatever you want to learn from that experience. But I find that structure tends to work really well. And it can work when you're having a one-on-one with somebody. It works a little better when you're in a group, whether it's a small group or a community. Either scenario, you can deploy that structure to get some help.
Yeah. You mentioned your own community, and I know individuals building their community. What are some steps? I mean, that's an important part, to find your tribe, if you will. What are some steps people should take in terms of trying to find their community and how you do that? I mean, if all of a sudden you find yourself, unfortunately, self-employed, let's use that example, and you're kind of staring at, man, I need to rekindle my community. I need to start one. What do you do?
You can reach out to people you know that have gone through a similar process and ask them what resources have been helpful to them. That's an easy one. You can, if you can find a real bookstore, you can go to the bookstore and just browse. You can, right? I did that But when I started my business, the online world wasn't what it is now.
Sure.
But you can certainly go online and look for books that may be helpful. There are a lot of online resources you can go on. Obviously, podcasts, YouTube. There are lots of free webinars, so you could start going to a few of those. And you could test some of the communities that you find. Here's one thing I would say when you're if you're thinking about trying to find your tribe, is don't be afraid to try something. Don't wait too long. Most communities have something you can try on a relatively short-term basis, whether it's, you know, like we have standalone workshops that give you a taste of what we do. So that's very low barrier to entry. You can, you know, you spend an hour learning and interacting with some other people around the topic of going solo. That'll give you a taste. And even in our community, you could join, and if it's not what you want, you can leave. But if you spend a lot of time sitting still and not taking action, that's not good. You actually have to keep trying things, because here's the important thing. Business and life are iterative. You learn how to walk when you're a baby by trying to get up and falling down a lot. And if you're not willing to fall down, you're never going to learn how to walk. When you're starting a business, unless you're going to get out there and try to sell something, you're never going to have a sale. And you're going to fall flat on your face in the beginning way more often than you're going to feel comfortable doing, but you got to get up and try. I remember I joined a business networking group towards the end of the first year I was in business. I didn't know anything about business networking. And I had to get up and give a 60-second commercial about my business. And I wasn't even sure what I was selling yet. So it was, to say that it was daunting is kind of an understatement. But I tried, I did it. And then I went back and I tried it again the next week. I ended up joining the group. So I got to practice doing it every week. And it was hard in the beginning. And I know that my message was not particularly good. But I ended up developing some of my best friendships from that initial group, and still have a client from that group. This is like 15 years ago.
Wow.
So, right. So you never know, but you have to try.
Yeah. That's probably the highlight, I would say, of ever. You've said a lot of good stuff in the show, but in particular, what I like is that you're going to fall on your face a lot when you run a business, and it's not a straight line. It's just, there's all kinds of ups and downs. And I think that's where you lose a lot of business owners, a lot of people that go into business for themselves, is they kind of expect it to be just always moving forward. And it just doesn't work that way. I mean, you lose big clients, new clients don't come sometimes, and you just have to deal with those different challenges. And the ones that kind of can persevere from that, learn from it and pivot, tend to be the ones that, you know, enjoy being self-employed and growing a business.
Think about it this way. Business is a series of experiments to determine what won't work.
It's true. That's really
right?
True.
Right. And then whatever doesn't work, just ditch it. Don't try it again.
Yeah, I like that. I like the way you put that. That's awesome. Hey, just before we wrap up here, a few more things I want to talk with you. Silly question, but I'm just curious. How did you come up with smashing the plateau? I just absolutely love that phrase. Where did that come from?
Actually, somebody who was part of my team came up with it. It wasn't
me.
Wow.
This is a cool name. Really cool.
Yes, it is. It's a good name, and the URL was available.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Where do you see the show going? I mean, you're 700 plus shows. What's your vision for the show? Is it keep doing the same thing? Do you have any aspirations in terms of what you're doing with it?
Keep doing the same thing.
Really? That's awesome. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I love interviewing people.
Yeah. You do a good job.
If I could, I would do it every day.
It's a lot of work. You know, I know I've had a couple of people on my show that have podcasts, and they, I don't know if they're every day, but multiple times a week they post. And they, what they do is they literally will spend a whole, like Monday, for example, from like 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. And that's for next week's shows. And they're just doing that all the time. I just can't be on that much. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, that is actually the way I do it. Although, yeah, I don't produce shows every day. So if I record for a day, it's a month's worth of content.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. Okay, great. And then I want to talk a little bit about, before we wrap up, about your community. Can you share smashingtheplateau.com? Guys, if you want to go there, check out David's podcast. It's amazing, fun to listen to, a lot of good stuff in it. But can you share a little bit about your community? What do you do in your community? It sounds like there's a paid component of it. Can you share a little bit about it?
Yeah, so Smashing the Plateau is a repository of content and resources for corporate refugees, people that are starting, running, and growing their own business after a long corporate career. And the podcast is free. We have a daily email newsletter every weekday that is free. The community is a paid resource, and there are two components to it. The base membership is access to our private community platform where you can log in and communicate with other members 24/7. And we have a growing resource bank of video and other content that's available for members to help them in their businesses. And then we have live sessions that are a combination of learning sessions that may be very structured, or maybe they're more Q&A around a particular topic. We have one this week on how to set up your own unique kind of AI system in 15 minutes, which is pretty going to be pretty interesting. This one hasn't happened yet. I'm looking forward to it. We had one recently on kind of financial basics for consultants and coaches. You know, as I mentioned, you know, not everybody comes out of the corporate world with sort of being number savvy. And so it's really important to understand your numbers. And it was a great session for kind of the basics, what you need to do, not only to stay in compliance with the IRS and the state and all the other things, but also to know how well you're doing it, to make sure that your time is used most effectively. Because that's our most precious resource, is our time. So yeah, learning sessions. And then the other half of the sessions are really structured around what I would say is kind of our core framework for being able to do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth, which is knowing what's important to you, having a very clear vision that is defined by clearly written goals that are broad yet specific enough so you know when you're working on them, and then having a plan that is metric-based. And I like a 90-day plan because it's long enough so that it's meaty, but it's not so far out that it seems daunting or overwhelming. And then breaking that down into what are you going to do every single week that's going to move the ball forward. And I mentioned that business is a series of experiments to determine what doesn't work. Well, if you are running these experiments every single week, if you think about it, one experiment per week, and if you can make an incremental improvement in your business every single week with these experiments, even a 0.1% improvement every single week by the end of the year, that's actually turns out to be a great improvement. But it takes a lot of discipline and perseverance to do this week in and week out. So the live sessions the rest of the time are really focused on giving you sort of the memory muscle to do this every single week. And when you're facing challenges, having a place where there's a structured place to get feedback every single week, because that's really what moves the ball forward. The ideas, entrepreneurs are full of ideas. We're very limited in what our capacity is to implement these ideas. And the community is designed to give you the structure so that you can make incremental progress consistently over a long period of time. Because what a breakthrough is what somebody else notices after you've taken 100 or maybe thousands of tiny steps and small incremental pivots. Think about, you know, Thomas Edison is credited with bringing the light bulb to market, and supposedly he tried 10,000 that didn't work. Imagine what kind of motivation and discipline it took for him to do that. But you're essentially doing the same thing in your own business. So this just gives you a kind of a resource and structure to be able to do it with like-minded, friendly, nice people.
Does cash flow have you down? Profit not where you think it should be? Maybe it's the long hours. Let's meet to see if I can help. iBridge driving the financial performance of your business to hit growth and success targets. Book a complimentary meeting at meetforgrowth.com to get started now. Once again, that's meetforgrowth.com. I look forward to talking with you. And thanks for listening to the show.
So this just gives you a kind of a resource and structure to be able to do it with like-minded, friendly, nice people.
Very cool. No, that sounds great. Hey, can't thank you enough, David, for being on the show. Big fan of yours. I think your podcast is excellent. So appreciate you putting that out every week. I'll put smashingtheplateau.com in the show notes and hope everyone would take a little time to go check it out. Sounds like you got something really cool going on. The 90-day approach with weekly bites to get towards it just is a great, it's a very easy for people to conceptually digest that and a good methodology for them to follow through. So I love that. So thanks again for being a host for guests today. And I can't thank you enough. Can't appreciate enough you being here.
Thank you so much, Tyler.
Take care.
That's all for this episode of Think Business with Tyler. But we have plenty more resources to help you in your pursuit of business excellence on our website at thinktyler.com. If you'd like to be featured in a future episode of the show, feel free to reach out to us on social media at think_Tyler. We look forward to helping you think life, think success, and think business.
Welcome to Sara Talk Solutions. Ladies and gentlemen, you've tuned into a bit of a different type of show. I'm Sara B and I'm your host. You can find me on my IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA. I talk about amazing, relevant conversations and topics and what functions that goes on in this magical, wonderful, wonderful city of the City of Angels. My IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the NatureBacked podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us. From renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the NatureBacked podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.